So if you open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, we will get started. We're going to start in verse 27. I'm going to pray. God, thank you so much for this great group of students, Lord, who's come here. God, I pray that anybody in here, Lord, who's just got that feeling like, I don't want to be here, I'm forced to be here, whatever it is, God, whatever reason they're not excited, Lord, I just pray that they would realize, God, that you're here, you love us. God, you want to help us with our problems, Lord. God, just like the end of that video, Lord, it's gross. Sin is gross, Lord. God, to you, that's what sin looks like. It's addictive. It's someone who can't stop smoking. It's someone who, it's to you, Lord, it's just something that is horrible and hideous. You know, Lord, sometimes we look at sin and we think it's not a big deal, but God, we have to always remember what sin looks like to you. It's disgusting. It's gross. It's despicable, and we don't want any part of that, Lord. So I just pray that everybody in here, Lord, would just be, God, you just convict any of us in here, Lord, who have areas in our lives that we need to submit to you, Lord. And tonight, I pray that we'd know what love is all about, God, and not lust. We'd know what love is. Lord, show us how to be better disciples and just be better followers of you. In Christ's name, amen. Well, if you guys don't know, I'm sure you do, in a little less than a month now, Valentine's Day is on its way. And I don't know if you guys still do this in school, but if you don't remember how it used to be, let me tell you how it used to be, all right? In like third grade, in the weeks that were leading up to Valentine's Day, they were so stressful, right? Because you're like, dude, I got to get like the perfect cards for everybody, right? When you used to pass out cards to everybody in school. You guys remember that time? You guys used to do that, make little boxes, like little things for everybody. And you'd go to Target and you'd pray that they still had some of the cool ones left, right? You'd sit there and pray and be like, please let there be some Spider-Man or some Barbie ones left over. Because if I get stuck with like Power Rangers or Garfield, everyone's going to look at me like I'm some sort of joke on Valentine's Day, right? Or you get stuck with those like generic ones that say like, you're out of this world, and has like a picture of an astronaut, and you're like, so cheesy. Or the ones that are like, hey, if I could rearrange the alphabet, I'd put you and I together. Right? Like lame ones like that. Well, next to Christmas, Valentine's Day is a day when people give almost as many cards as they do on Christmas. They give over 1 billion cards. Can you believe that? Just for Valentine's Day. Americans are going to spend over $14 billion, yes, billion dollars on presents for their Valentines. And get this, 3% of the people, which is a huge number in America, right, with 300 million people, 3% of those people are going to buy Valentine's Day gifts and cards for their pet. What? That's crazy. If you're that person, maybe you can explain to me later how you can do that. But if you're wondering the history and background around Valentine's Day, let me give you a little bit of background, okay? There was this emperor of Rome, and his name was Claudius. He was once said, and Claudius was the Roman emperor, and he once said that it's better for young men to not be married because they are better soldiers when they remain unmarried. So he made a law that said that young couples couldn't marry because he'd rather that they stayed in the army. Well, there was a man named Valentine, right? Or Valentine, but we'll call him Valentine. And he was a bishop of a church. Now, a bishop is a guy who oversees members of the church. Think Pastor Skip, okay? Oversees other people of the ministry. So Valentine sympathized with these people, right? And he wanted to help them out. So he would secretly perform marriages for the two people who were in love. Well, there was also, I'm sorry, well, before long, Claudius II, right, found out that he had been doing this, and so he jailed Valentine and sentenced him to death. And there goes a story that while Valentine was in jail, that he fell in love with the jailer's daughter. And right before they put him to death for marrying people, he signed a note and gave it to the girl that he loved and signed it, "From your Valentine." Right? Sweet, sweet story. But over the years, here's the deal. Valentine's Day has turned from a day of love to a day of lust. And we find ourselves today in our Kingdom Come series, our book, look through the book of Matthew, that Jesus is teaching on lust. And so today we want to discover what the difference is between love and lust. I named my message today, "I Lust You." I don't know why we don't have the slides up. I think we might have something going on with the computer. But Here's the deal. The way I spelled it, as you can see on your bulletin, is E-Y-E, lust you. Okay? And the reason why I named it that is because there's a huge difference between love and lust. And the difference is that lust says, my eye loves you. Right? Lust says, I like what I see. And true love doesn't even need sight to love. After we look at the difference between love and lust, we're going to see what Jesus meant in the text when he says that you should pluck your eye out or cut your hand off. We want to definitely understand what that means. And as I told you guys last week, this and a couple more are going to be piggyback on the sermon we learned about the law. And we're going to see what God meant when he said, I came to fulfill the law, when I came to fulfill these commandments, and what he really meant when he gave them. So before we get on our first point that we're going to camp on, let's read 27 through 30, okay? You have heard it said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you. For it is more profitable that you would lose, that one of your members would perish, than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, cast it from you. For it is more profitable that the one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. So this first point we're going to talk about is called love or lust. Now, if anybody in here, by the way, thinks, I really don't struggle with this. This isn't something that I really need to pay attention to. I'm just going to zone out now. Well, let me guarantee you that in a couple of months, years, I promise you that this will become something that you will have to deal with. And if you already haven't fallen into sin in this area, you might just, if you don't, listen up tonight. And it's very important to separate the two, love and lust, because you'll get in trouble if you confuse them, if you fail to understand what lust is and what love is. So we first want to look at what lust is. Look at verse 27. He says, you have heard it said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. Once again, okay, we spoke about this last week, that Jesus said, you have heard these things. Because remember we said, it would have been very costly for people to own a copy of the Old Testament back then, all the scripture that there was. And so most people wouldn't have had that. So they had to trust that what they heard from the scribes and Pharisees, the teachers in the temple, was right. And once again, like we saw last week, they're only teaching half-truths. Yes, yes, it's true that you shouldn't commit adultery. Yes, you shouldn't have sexual relations with another person besides your wife or your husband. But here's the deal. Once again, they're showing that it's all about a physical act and not about your heart. It made it seem like as long as you're not physically unfaithful to your spouse, that it's all good. But that's not true. Because they never told anybody that in God's eyes, it's the exact same, whether you actually cheat on your spouse or you just lust after a person in your head. Now, lust is defined as an intense, unbridled sexual desire or an intense longing. Now, maybe right now you're thinking, I'm not married, so isn't adultery only possible for a person who's married? Well, yes, this is what Christ is talking about, but two things. One, you're technically engaged to Christ, so you can be a cheater in that way. And the second thing is that the Bible teaches that lust, even for a non-married person like yourselves, unless there's someone in here who has something to tell me, right? Like secret Valentine marriage or something like that, right? But that even for people like you who are single, that lusting is, in fact, sinful. It is sexual impurity. And so this does apply to you. So in verse 27, Jesus says, even if you look at a woman, you can say, or look at a man, same thing, to lust after that person, you've committed adultery. Now the part we really want to look at is it says, if you look. That means to focus, right? To lust after that person. Lust starts with a look. Starts with your eye. And the reason why there may be a boy or girl that you just can't stop staring at is because you continue to not stop staring at them. Your eye is fixated upon them. But here's the deal. The Bible says that your eye is the lamp of the body. Therefore, if whatever you see is good, then your body will be full of good things. But if you see bad things, your body is full of darkness. So that's a problem. Lust is superficial. You don't lust after somebody because you love their personality, right? You don't lust after somebody's personality or their intelligence. Lust simply looks at the physical features of a person, and that is what you desire. That is what you long after. Now, lusting is not like a person comes into the room, you see them, and you just happen to be attracted to them, okay? Like somebody walks in, and they walk in, you look over, and you're like, okay, whatever, like that was an attractive person, but you don't go any farther than that, okay? Lusting is when you begin to wonder, you begin to imagine, you begin to fantasize about this person. You know what it is? It's like the double take, right? It's like somebody walks into the room and you look and you're like, what? You know what I mean? Like you're following them all the way around the room and like watch them walk out the door. You're like, that's lust, okay? The double look. Sometimes things come into your vision and you can't help it. You look over it, like, oh, you know what I mean? Then you just continue to go the other way. But once you do that double look, that's when it becomes a problem. So here's two things we're going to look at today when it comes to lust. Two problems, okay? The first thing is that lust has to do with your vision. And we see a lot of things throughout the week, okay? Pornographic images are all over the place. And I don't just mean pornography-specific websites. There's images out there that cause you to lust that are on your phone, that are on TV, that are on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, many places that are causing you to stumble. You're being constantly, we all are, being constantly bombarded by images and images that the world says is okay. You guys, I'm not even going to lie to you. I was in the seventh grade when this stuff was starting to go around. So if you haven't seen it, somebody has and somebody wants to show it to you because that's just the evil kind of world we live in. Seventh grade when my friends started looking at pornography. Seventh grade. You guys are either older or pretty close to that. So here's the deal. And with the way things are, with the digitizing of our world and everybody have phones and internet connections and everything, it's only going to get younger and younger. So you need to be on constant alert for these images. The second danger you face today is what people often do, and it's scary. They often confuse love with lust. Many people today are deciding to lose their virginity because they say, but I love this person. And so we're in love, and so it's okay. And that's not love, okay? That's lust. That's you saying, I have no self-control, and so to make myself feel less guilty, I'll just make myself believe that I love this person and so it's okay. I promise you that in your life, sometime someone will try to get you to be impure and say that as long as you're in a committed relationship, it's okay. As long as you plan on marrying this person, it's okay. But we shouldn't get our advice from the world, right? That's why we don't live by God or by the world. We live by what God says. And God says that even your thoughts are sinful. Not just your actions, but your thoughts. And the problem is, just like we learned last week with murder, that it opens up many doors to other sins, right? Because here's the deal. You never have murder without anger. To murder somebody, you must be angry with them. You never have a fight without anger. And the same is true for lusting. You never have premarital sex without lust. You don't look at pornography without lust. Lust is the gateway to more and more sin. Lust is selfish. Lust says it's all about me, it's all about my body, my thoughts, and whatever I want to do. And so if that's lust, then what's love? Let's look at what love is. And love is simply the opposite of lust. We're going to look a lot closer, but it is simply that. I looked up one passage. I looked up some stuff on the internet, and it said it was this website that had a bunch of things that little kids said what love was. And so I wanted to pass this on because I thought it was pretty funny. One kid said, love is when a guy who has freckles goes and finds a girl who has freckles too. One kid said, I think you get shot by an arrow, but then the rest isn't as painful. One guy said, love is when a girl says she likes a boy's shirt, and so he wears it every single day. I like this one the best, though. He said this. He said, you know what? I'm not rushing into love. Fourth grade is hard enough, right? I think that's pretty good. I think that's a good sense of what you guys should be thinking about your love life right now. I know you're older than that. But you guys have so much going on right now at your age. And you're going to have even more as you come into high school. You have enough to worry about. Your mid-school years, your high school years should be dominated by your relationship with God. The Bible says God is love. And so if God is love, then we should be able to distinguish the difference between love and lust simply by the characteristics of God. Now, what we're going to go over is not very extensive, let me tell you this, okay? We could talk for hours on end on how God is love. I'm just going to look at three things. And I encourage you guys to read 1 Corinthians 13, great chapter about love, famous definitions that even secular people use in their weddings that you've probably heard before. But in that passage, we're going to look at three things that love is. And we're going to show how that's what love is and that it's not lust. So the first thing the Bible says about love is that love does not rejoice in iniquity. Okay, iniquity is sin. Okay? So true love would never be happy in sin, right? You could say true love does not rejoice or is not happy about the sin. So right off the bat, if you're in a relationship right now or you're going to be in a relationship, anything that is sinful about that relationship is not, it's not love. It's not love at all. It's in fact lust. It must be lust. Another thing that the Bible says is love is patient. So there's no need to rush into relationships. If you think, but I need experience, or everybody else has a girlfriend or a boyfriend, well, that isn't love either, because love is patient. And so you should be patient for it as well. Many people rush into relationships, rush into marriage. Listen, we just saw it. True love is patient, so wait for it. Listen, God is honored by marriage. God loves marriage. And so he clearly wants to bring somebody into your life at the right point who is ready for you to be married to. But don't make it on your time, make it on his time. The last thing about love that we're going to look at really quickly is love does not seek its own. Or in other words, love is sacrificial. I want to say something to you guys, right? And I don't want you to ever forget this, okay? Mostly the girls right now, okay? Girls, don't ever believe a guy. Don't ever believe a guy who says, if you love me, you would do this. Or if you love me, you would do that. Okay? Because that is not love. True love waits. And if somebody really loves you, then they'll wait till you're married. And guys, don't ever be the guy who manipulates a woman by using the love word, okay? Girls are very affected by that word. That man is not a man, he's a coward, in fact. To be a real man, you should treat a woman like a lady, like she deserves. You respect her purity and you respect your own. So you can see how God is love, right? Because God is patient. God doesn't rejoice in sin. In fact, he hates it. It's gross to him. And God sees us, and he doesn't close himself off to us. He opened himself up to us. He's not seeking his own. He's sacrificial. He died for us. He takes care of us. He would do anything for us. He never forces us into anything. So we said, lust is I love, right? It's whatever I can do to get you. But true love is when you should be, is not dominated by physical qualities, okay? True love doesn't say, I love the way that person looks and that's the only thing I'm invested in. But it's more invested in how much they love God, and if they're patient, and if that other person has your interest in heart, if that other person loves Christ and hates sin, I love it. You know, I know why? Because God is so good to us. Because whether we're guilty of lust or any other sin, God always has provided a way for us to change our lives. God never condemns anything without letting us know how to be right about the things that we're doing wrong. And so he gives us a remedy to our lust here, which leads us into our next point, which is called radical remedy. Have you guys ever been to Vitamin Cottage or like Whole Foods, any of those places? Here's the deal. If you don't know and you've never been there, there's like 75 aisles dedicated to like radical treatments, like any root, herb, seed, extract, anything you could ever find. Like you can probably find like pulverized dandelions and they'll tell you that it's like good for your digestive tract or something like that. And they have all these radical remedies at these places. And they'll tell you things like, hey, if you drink lemonade and cayenne pepper and maple syrup, like for a straight week, you'll lose some weight. And you're just like, who does these things, right? Who are these people? Well, I think one of the most radical remedies is actually found in the Bible right here. And we're going to read it. This was Jesus' radical remedy. And this was meant to give us to provoke a response in us, in people then and us today. Let's look at verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, cast it from you. For it's more profitable that you lose one of your members perish than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Wow. Anybody in here looking to pluck out their own eye or cut off their own hand? Not me. That doesn't sound good. And that's okay, because Jesus luckily didn't literally want you to do this, okay? But we want to figure out what he meant by this, because this is a pretty radical statement. Because we said earlier that this was a heart problem, right? This isn't a physical problem. So here's the deal. Here's how it's going to work. The Jews back then, their right eye was known as their best eyesight, okay? And their right hand was known for their best skills, what they would make money off of. They would labor with it. And so what good would it do to cast these things away from us? What good would it do to lose these things? And here's the deal. The point that Jesus is trying to make here is that there should be nothing in your life that you won't freely give up to stop your sin. Even the best of what you had. So he's saying to the Jews, you know your best eye, your best hand, you should be ready to get rid of that if it's causing you to sin. And this is why he says it's better for you to get rid of those things than to be cast into hell. Think about it. If your eye is continuously getting you in trouble because you can't stop staring at a girl or a guy, then your whole body has now become darkened just by what you see with your eye. Because your eye is what you use to lust. The Bible says that the unrighteous will by no means inherit the kingdom of God. So here's the deal. You cannot, day after day, continuously sin the same sin. So the plucking out of your eye, the cutting off of your hand, shows and signifies radical change in your life when it comes to your bad habits. Jesus is saying, listen, you can't continuously do the same things over and over. You need to be able and ready to wage war on your sin. You should be willing to give up anything in your life that causes sin. So practically, what does that look like us today? Well, maybe it's something like this. If your computer is causing you to sin, well then better for you never to be on the computer again than to be cast into hell. Or if your relationship with your friend is causing you to stumble because you keep lusting after him or her, well, better to lose that relationship than for you to lose your relationship with Jesus. Maybe there's some of you guys in here today who think you've been getting away for a long time with sin. That you've been getting away with the lust in your heart. That it's okay. It's not that big of a deal. I want to tell you today, the way that the Lord sees it is he says, stop what you're doing. Wage war on that. And remember that God sees your heart, sees your thoughts. You need to do anything you possibly can to cut sin out of your life. If you can't be trusted alone on the computer, or you can't be trusted alone, period, then don't be alone. And if you can't go to a party at a friend's house without staring and wondering and fantasizing, then stop going to parties. And if you can't watch TV without checking out the news anchors or whoever, stop watching TV. And if you think, but I can't do these things, I just can't stop being friends with a person, I just can't stop being on Facebook. Oh, really? You can. And this is what Jesus is telling us right here. Our most prized things, if they become sinful, need to be cast away from us. There's nothing in this world, not your hand or your eye, that you shouldn't be willing to give up for the sake of Jesus and your relationship. Now please don't go like tell your mom like, I gotta get rid of this thing, you know what I mean? Or something like, knife, you know, please don't say that, okay? Don't blame that on me. But what I do want you to do this week is think about what you've been up to. Okay? Think about some ways to radically wage war on your sin. Evaluate yourself. Ask yourself, is there something in my life that's causing me to sin that I just won't forsake? And if there is, pray that God would take that from you. Pray that you would have a heart that's willing to sacrifice anything for him, that you'd be willing to cast it out so that your spiritual life doesn't suffer. But listen, I want us to help each other out. There's this book right here, okay? I got three copies for whoever wants it, all right? Whoever comes and sees me first can have it. It's called Sex Isn't the Problem, Lust Is. And if this is something you deal with and something you want to learn more about and how to just be pure in your life, it's a great book. But in it, there's a chapter that's dedicated to ways that men and women can help each other out right now. And so here's a couple ways that we can fight the war on lust by helping each other out, okay? Here's the first thing, all right? Women, this is for you first, okay? Watch how you dress, okay? Revealing dress will stumble a guy faster than anything, okay? Also, don't touch, guys, please. Like, high five, it's all good, but don't give the lingering hug, okay? And guys, you're probably like, what? No, seriously. This is for your spiritual growth. Ladies, please don't do that. It does them no good. And guys, stop with the sweet talk, okay? Girls work on emotion. It doesn't mean you have to tell them they're ugly, all right? But it means that you just don't say like, oh my gosh, you smell so good. I love your hair, jeans, socks, eyelashes, teeth. I love everything about you, right? And girls like to be pursued. So don't pursue them, okay? Don't be like, hey, I like to see you at Velocity, and then I'm going to call you, I'm going to Twitter you, Facebook you, MySpace you, email you. That's pursuit, okay? That's what's going to stumble a woman, all right? Listen, I'm not being ridiculous, I promise you guys. This is possible. I just saw two friends of mine get married 2 weeks ago who never even kissed each other, never kissed anybody in their lives. And it was so epic, man. It made me want to like just straight up cry when I saw that because it was so cool to see how honoring that was to God. And I can't wait to see what God does in their lives because when you honor God big time, God says, I know you can't outdo me, so I'm going to even do more for you. And so if you guys tonight say that, you know what, God, I'm going to be pure. I don't want to lust. I'm ready to get rid of anything in my life, no matter what that means. Then God is going to bless you immensely. I can't even imagine the things that you're going to do. Listen, you want to bypass problems? You want to bypass heartache? You want to bypass the dangers of relationships? Then for the time being, put Christ first in your relationship with him. I think there's some people in here, like the Pharisees and the scribes must have been when they first heard this, that are shocked, that are thinking, man, I guess I've done a good job outwardly at not being a luster, but man, the things that I do in my head, I'm pretty ashamed of the things I've done. And listen, Jesus died for that. If you're saved at this moment and you are finally coming to realize that you haven't been very good at your thoughts, well, all you need to do is repent, right? It's the whole focus of our book that we've been talking about. Repent. Just turn away from those things. Turn to God and say, God, give me a heart that wants to not do these things. Because guess what? God's grace is way bigger than lust. The Bible says that you're a new creation in Christ. So that means that the things that you used to do before you were saved, those things are over. They no longer have to rule you anymore. Your whole new person, that person is dead who used to be into lust and it was always taken over by those things. God's Spirit dwells within you with all of your struggles, but you have to want him to help you. If you stumbled from these things, guess what? Tonight, let God dust you off and get you back on the road, right? You don't have to sit there for 20 hours and lament over this thing. Say, God, I messed up. I'm sorry. I want to turn to you and I'm done with this. And then start doing it. Because God's ready to do that. He's ready to put you back on the road. Let's be radical when it comes to our sinful lifestyle. Let's just not say, it's not a big deal. Let's start thinking of it how God thinks of it, which is gross and disgusting. Let's be people who want changed hearts, pure minds, and pure actions. So let's think about love a little bit different this Valentine's Day, huh? In fact, let's think about love different every single day. Let's start a war on sin. And here's the deal. If any of you don't have Christ in here right now, let me just tell you, you've already lost the battle. You'll never be able by yourself to fight off lust and sin. It's just too much. But with Christ, God has already planned out your victory. And all you have to do is follow him without restraint. You know who St. Valentine's Valentine was? Who St. Valentine loved more than anybody? It was God. It was Jesus. Right? He was a bishop. He was a churchman. He was a man in the ministry. So let's live for the love of Christ as well. Love that died for you. Love that took nails in his hands and feet for you. A love that has seen the worst in you and still loves you to death, to pieces. I'm going to pray, and then the band's going to come up and sing one last song. But if any of you guys need anything after I pray, just come on up, and I'd love to pray with you, do anything I can for you. I want to see you guys succeed, and I want to see you, like my friends who just got married, honor God in such a righteous way and just watch your guys' lives be blown away. Father, thank you so much. Lord, I just pray for everybody in here, Lord. As I look back on my own life, God, I know the places where I failed, and God, you have shown me the places that I failed, and I'm just thankful, God, that I no longer have to worry about those things. God, I've been washed. I've been forgiven, Lord. And when I fail again, Lord, God, your grace is there to pick me back up, dust me off, and send me back on my way with your Spirit. And I love that, God. I love that nothing can overpower grace, not sin, not the worst of sin, Lord. And if there's somebody in here tonight, Lord, who thinks, but I've done some bad stuff. I've looked at some really bad stuff. I've been into some stuff that would just make God so disgusted, Lord, I'd pray that they would remember that, God, as much as you're disgusted and you hate those things, you love them far much more. So, God, thank you for this night, Lord. Please help us to be pure. Let us wage the war on sin, Lord. Let us cast out anything in our lives that is causing us sin and causing us to sever our relationship with you, Lord. And let us tonight, Lord, recommit our lives to you, Lord, to be pure. And let's keep them, Lord. Let's not keep doing these things, Lord. Let us be pure, please, Father. In your name I pray. Amen.